Heavenly Father, Lord our King, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for breath, blessing me with being chosen by you, be loved by you, to be your servant. I pray that all the words, the thoughts, emotions, actions will be of you, and that things that are that you do not want to be said or done, that you will stop me from doing them before, so that I will relay the message exactly the way you want them to be relayed. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Amen. This morning when Rabbi Eduardo was doing the Mikomocha message, that was so impactful. And although he did not know what my message was going to be about, it hit quite a few points within the message that I'm going to be giving. Being blessed with being given the opportunity to give messages can actually be a daunting task at times, because you want to do a good job for the Lord and you want to be able to translate things that he puts into your mind in an adequate way that people will understand what he's coming from, to remove some of your fleshly biases so that it will be what the Lord wants. Plus, in my case, I can't speak for Rabbi Eduardo, but although these messages are meant for everybody, it's also a teaching for me, and he exposes to me my shortcomings, where I have to work on, and I have to tell everybody the things that the Lord speaks to me about that I need to work on, my shortcomings. But thank God that he's a loving God and he's doing this in order to strengthen my faith. First, I want to start off with a question. How many of you out there have felt overwhelmed recently by life and all the circumstances of the world? Yes. Locally, this country has become a mess. There are riots occurring everywhere, and most recently up in Portland and Seattle. And with the presidential elections coming up in November, who knows what it's going to be like, depending on who wins the election. It could be worse either way. It could be better one way or the other. We don't know. And there's been reported new cases of this coronavirus deaths, and they've been increasing. The governor of Pennsylvania is starting to return to shutting down the state again to curb the increases. Globally, this coronavirus is shutting down the whole world. It's infecting everybody. Then you add into the mix that there's going to be supposedly a second wave of the virus happening in the future. People are bugging out all over the world over this. Everywhere you look, you're hearing gloom and doom. Relationships are being strained. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about within the believing community and within this congregation, relationships are being strained. People have left the congregation because of disagreements with others. People become offended but don't work them out. People become offended but don't say anything. They just leave. People become offended by the leaders, but they don't say anything. And worse than just leaving, they leave and they tell other people how bad it is here. People become offended by other people, but they don't say anything. They just ignore the people and make snarky comments. For those of you who don't know what the word snarky means, it means being sharply critical, cutting, and snide comments. People leave the congregation then make these cutting comments. People think to themselves, I am hurt. You hurt me. I can't say what I want. I follow scriptures correctly, but you don't. I am right and you are wrong. People leave the congregation because we are too Jewish. People leave the congregation because we're not Jewish enough. It's one thing or another. You don't do this, you don't do that. The Lord is saying, stop! I had enough. This is enough. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 about the fruits of the Spirit of God. And it says, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And he goes on further to say, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Matthew 18 is intended to restore relationships, to work out problems between brothers and sisters. We're to go to our brother or sister one-on-one, led by the fruits of the Spirit. But where is the love? Where is the joy? Where is the patience and the kindness? Where is the grace? The Lord has shown us tremendous grace. Why do we not show grace to others? Adonai is saying, enough. Where are the fruits of my Spirit? The title of this message that the Lord gave me is Enough. Yeshua, the one and only true love. We have to make Yeshua our focus. He has to be the one and only true love in our life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 6, 1, verse 6, rejoice in this, even though now for a little while you have to experience grief and various trials. We are supposed to rejoice in our trials, because he goes on to say in verse 7, even gold is tested for genuineness by fire. The purpose of these trials is so that your trust genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Yeshua the Messiah. The purpose of these trials is so that faith will be strengthened and will be tested for genuineness, and we will pass. We are being tested. Are we for real? Are we just talking about living a life for the Lord? And if you look in the book of Job, which the two often quoted scriptures, the first conversation between Adonai and Satan, Adonai allows Satan to mess with our stuff. From Job 1, 9 to 12, then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. He allowed him to mess with our stuff. And then again in Job 2, verses 4 to 6, the adversary answered Adonai, skin for skin, a person will give up everything he has to save his life. But if you reach out your hand and touch his flesh and bone, without a doubt, he'll curse you to his face. Adonai said to the adversary, here, he is in your hands, except that you are to spare his life. The Lord has given Satan the permission to mess with our stuff, to mess with our lives, but he cannot kill us. But as I was talking to Rabbi Mark, as I was preparing this message, he is not allowed to kill us, but the Lord has allowed him to manipulate circumstances that could put us in a position where we can be harmed or even cause death. Next month, September 19th, will be 1 year since I had the major heart attack and had to have emergency open heart surgery. The Lord allowed the circumstances to happen, not because I'm a bad person or that he does not love me, but it's to glorify him. By all accounts, the way that things went, I should not be here. I was written off as doomed to death, or I would have spent a whole lot of weeks in the hospital. I was out within a week, and my heart is normal. The Lord has blessed me. He has allowed me to go through that trial, but not because he doesn't love me, but because he wants me to be strengthened, and he wants to use me, bless me, to use me to show his glory. Satan has also been allowed to mess with our minds, to manipulate us into making bad decisions, and not only lead to spiritual death, which is the highway to hell, but also to physical death. And a lot of people may not understand this, and I have forgotten this at times, but the main battlefield, the spiritual battlefield between us and Satan, is our minds. That is the place he manipulates us the most. And if we don't remember that, he will get us, manipulate us. We must remember the battlefield is the mind. When you are in despair without Yeshua in your life and you start drinking more by yourself to ease the pain, bad decision. Also, the taking of drugs, which can lead to suicide by overdose caused by bad decisions. But all these things are done to test and strengthen our faith. And as we saw in this week's parsha readings in Revelation 12:17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keeps the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. The dragon, which is Satan, was enraged. Not a little bit mad, but enraged. And it goes way beyond what they call roid rage. It's more destructive. To make war with the rest of the children, but keep God's commandments and to hold to the testimony of Yeshua. This is about following God's word as revealed by Yeshua. Not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law as revealed by Yeshua. That means Satan hates every single one of us believers in Messiah. He lost his place in the kingdom of heaven, and he wants to take us down with him and his minions, the fallen angels. He wants to destroy us. Satan has been allowed to put us through trials. We should expect to go through trials, but not feel defeated nor feel that we lack faith because we don't see the blessings through trials. Nor should we bicker amongst ourselves. Satan is using this to divide and conquer. What better way than to destroy us, but divide us from the people that we love, that love us, and that can support us and help us defeat him. If he turns us believers against each other, he can conquer us. If he can turn us against each other, it makes it easier for him. The Lord is saying, enough. We have to remember something very important that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. He loves us so much that he will give us the way out through the temptations. He allows us to go through it, but he will give us the way out. He will provide us the way out so we can endure. 1 Peter 1:5 says, meanwhile, through trusting, you are protected by God's power. We are protected by God's power for deliverance, ready to be revealed at the last time. We are protected by God's power, not our own power. Too many of us try to do things on our own, and it doesn't work. We must use God's power and allow him to do it. He wants to do it, so we should let him. It's a lot easier. We can do nothing on our own. Nothing. He does everything for us. He is the way out. He is the blessing that I was talking about through the trials. We do receive blessing even in trials. He is the blessing. Although sometimes it's hard to remember that when we're going through the trials. In some of my past messages, I spoke of the day of judgment, where we'll be judged according to the spirit of Torah as it was revealed by Messiah Yeshua. And if we want to be judged more favorably on that day, we need to know his word and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in how to interpret his word. I spoke about how faith and works go together in James chapter 2, verses 20 to 40, 20 to 24. He says, faith without works is useless. Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. Faith was working with his works. And a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. Faith without works is useless. You cannot simply say, I believe in Yeshua, but not live a life that shows it. I talked about how a person who has been justified by works and not by faith alone, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. That's from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. This is our goal, the kingdom of heaven. But our focus must be Yeshua as our one and only true love. Because if you look at verses 9 through 11 in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, don't you know that unrighteous people have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't delude yourselves. People who engage in sex before marriage, who worship idols, who engage in sex after marriage with someone other than their spouse, who engage in active or passive homosexuality, who steal, who are greedy, who get drunk, who assail people with contemptuous language, who rob, None of them will share in the kingdom of God. Some of you used to do these things, but you have cleansed yourself. You have been set apart for God. You have come to be counted righteous through the power of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and the Spirit of our God. So if you are considered unrighteous and have no share in the kingdom of God because you do these things, then what would mean? Then what would that mean? Would be considered righteous and share in the kingdom of God because you don't do these things? You're considered righteous if you don't do any of those things just mentioned. And here at this congregation, we strive to walk in Torah, but not legalistically, as in following a checklist. We do not promote Hebrew roots here. It's misguided. Being an Orthodox Jew is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. Rabbi Dwyer once told me how the Messianic congregations over in Israel don't act, they try not to act like the Orthodox Jews. They don't do those things just to be Jewish because they are Jewish. We are not Orthodox Jews. We're Jews and Gentiles who worship Yeshua HaMashiach, the living God. We don't hold to the belief that we must follow the lead of the Orthodox Jews and follow Torah as a checklist, like automatons, robots. Last Shabbat, Rabbi Adorno talked about how the tribes of Dan and Ephraim were demoted to sub-tribes within the tribe of Joseph, beneath Joseph's banner because of how they lived their lives. He also spoke of how people say, I just want to get into the kingdom, and how they should not be just settling to get into the kingdom, but seeking to be the greatest in the kingdom. Because when you're the greatest in the kingdom, you're the least, and you have to be a servant. And the next couple of things I'm going to be saying may be a little shocking to some people and may even offend people. But what I have to say, I believe the Lord is directing to. All these things are true, and I have not changed my mind and my beliefs. But I believe that we have to stop right here, because God is saying enough. He is our one and only true love. God loves us unconditionally. He loves every single person he created unconditionally. He gave us the gift of free will to choose him or not to choose him. And although he loves us unconditionally, because we have the free choice, we still suffer the consequences of our choice. That does not mean he doesn't love us. He loves us unconditionally. But if you choose to do stuff against the Lord, you will suffer consequences for it. He will continue to love those who don't believe in him or reject him. But you will suffer the consequences of those choices. And the true essence of what he wants is unconditional love in return. As I was preparing this message, the Lord started showing me things about unconditional love for him. He may have shown me this before, I may have forgotten. But he wants us to make him our one and only true love unconditionally. This means we are to love him without expecting anything in return. And I mean nothing. He wants us to love him even when he takes away our stuff, like our job, or our money, or our house. If he takes away a loved one from you, takes away a child before it's born, he still wants us to make him our one and only true love unconditionally. If he does not guarantee on the day of judgment you will be in the kingdom of heaven, we're supposed to love him unconditionally. If he doesn't tell you what you need to say or do in order to have salvation, if the Bible didn't explain what we needed to do or give us an idea of what the consequences are that you have to wait and see if you make the cut into the kingdom of heaven without knowing what should be done. If we didn't have that checklist of the Torah to do what needed to be done in order to get into heaven. Can you imagine playing a game that gives you a goal but no way of knowing how to achieve it? It would be like playing a Scrabble, knowing that the one with the most points wins, but you don't know how to set up the chessboard. You don't know how to arrange the tiles. You don't know what the rules are, how to make the words that you need to use. You just have to focus on him being your one and only true love. That's the only thing that we should be focusing on. It is important, as Rabbi Adwaro has mentioned, to do the things according to what he wants. It's important for us to come on a Shabbat morning to get together to worship the Lord. It is important to read Torah, the words of the Lord, every day. It is important to us to be at Bible studies. It is important for us to come together as a community outside of Shabbat. It is important how we live our lives, but it is more important just to make the Lord our one and only true love. Going back to God blessing us with a way out, we see Yeshua tells us through Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." The weapons of war against darkness is not flesh, but the Spirit of God, what gives the ability to hold our thoughts captive to the obedience of Yeshua, which gives us the ability. That's why it's so important to make him your focus. As I said, the battlefield against Satan is within the mind, and he manipulates the mind. But God gives us the weapons. That is so awesome. We don't have to worry about how we're going to fight Satan. We put God first and focus on him, and he will equip us on how to defeat Satan. Because of God's power that he has given to us to fight the darkness, we're able to take thoughts, and I believe our emotions, captive to the obedience of Yeshua, the one and only true love. Take these thoughts captive to focus on making Yeshua our one and only true love. This should be a tremendous relief to everybody. We don't have to do it ourselves. We just let him do it by focusing on him. and only Him. Because once you focus on Him and only Him, He will take care of the rest. He will take care of protecting you against Satan. He will take care of your family. He will take care of your relationship with your wife, with your children, with your congregation. Putting Him first will take care of all the other things. You love Him, you'll want to follow His Torah, as He revealed it. You'll want to come here and worship Him. You'll want to go to the Bible studies. It won't be a burden. You won't be afraid to tithe because our finances are tight, because you can trust Him. We only have to be concerned with making Yeshua our one and only true love and seeking Him out to have an intimate relationship with Him. Take every thought captive and emotions captive and focus on Him and our relationship with Him. If we're taking our thoughts captive and thinking about Yeshua the way we should be thinking about Yeshua, next time something happens, you stop and you ask Him, what should I do? Someone aggravates you, makes you mad, stop before you say something. Pray, talk to God, talk to Yeshua. What should I do? Don't just jump in and start saying things. It gets you in trouble because it's more than likely going to be the flesh talking out. Yeshua has to be the main focus. As I said in my last message, He has done all the work for us. So why not let Him take care of us? He has also placed His Holy Spirit with each and every one of us. John 16:7 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter Counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send Him to you." And also in John 16:13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose just what is to come." So not only does He make it so that we all know Him, He also writes His laws on our minds and our hearts. He also sent His Holy Spirit, the Comforting Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that writes God's laws on our hearts and our minds. And He teaches us and guides us through what He has written. And again, this is amazing. We should be excited about this. We shouldn't be looking at Scripture and worrying, I don't know what this says. I need to know what this says. I don't know what it's saying. I don't understand the revelation. How is it the end times going to go? How's it? Relax. Have a relationship with God and focus on Him. And He was going to help you understand. He's going to guide you to people that will help you understand. Stop trying to do it on your own. Go to Him to let Him help you do it. And I'm talking about myself. I need to do this more too. He really wants us to know Him intimately in a very personal relationship. There are some who say they are believers, they are Christians, but they don't think that you can have an intimate personal relationship with God, that He is just a person up in heaven that loves us, but He doesn't want to have a relationship with us, that we can't talk to Him. that we have to have a mediator. Yeshua is our mediator. We no longer have to rely on the priest to tell us to do the sacrifices for us. Our lives are the sacrifice. The daily reading of the Bible and the reading of the Parsha studies, Bible verses, are important. But it's more than just the reading. It's reading with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to tell you everything that you need to know. There are some things in Scripture that we won't know until Yeshua returns. He uses other ways to help you understand too. He will guide you. That's why he guided you to this congregation, because you have anointed rabbis as well as elders that can help you comprehend to understand the Scriptures. Doesn't mean that we're going to get it all right either, but the Lord uses other people to help you understand. But you won't know it unless you have a relationship with him and to listen to him, to his guidance. We must read the Scriptures through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforting counselor who will help us to understand. These words will have more meaning when you make Yeshua your one and only true love. You can hear and understand more clearly when you focus your love upon him. And everything else will come naturally after that. Before, when I was a younger believer and I used to try and understand these things for myself, sometimes I'd sit at Bible studies and listen to Rabbi, and I'd look at the Bible and say, where do you see this? I don't see what you're saying in the Bible. It's because he was following the Holy Spirit and being guided by the Holy Spirit. And as you progress and you get closer to the Lord, he will reveal more to you. As you can handle it, he'll reveal more things to you. But if you don't have a connection with him, he's not going to reveal more. Because if you're not trying to know more, not to know him better, to just read for the sake of reading, to come to Shabbat services for the sake of coming to Shabbat services, to do the holy days for the sake of doing the holy days. Holy days, we can observe it, but we cannot do the commandments because there is no temple. We can observe it, but that doesn't mean you can't understand Yeshua through them. Yeshua tells us in himself in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in Torah? And he said to him, You shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Torah and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You're supposed to love him with all your heart, soul, and might. He is your one and only true love. It doesn't matter what benefits we get out of it. That's the least of what we have to worry about. That's going to come because he loves us and he'll bless us. But what we should be focusing on is just loving him regardless of what he gives us. Just the sake of loving him. The other things will come. Loving others as ourselves. For those who are married, love your wife as yourself. Love God first, then love your wife. She should be your focus after God. There's trouble, you don't point to the other person. It's spouses should love each other and want to get better themselves instead of pointing at the other spouse. When you have a relationship with someone, love that other person. See what you need to change. Go to them in love and tell them, this is what happened. What can we do to fix the relationship? Not go to them, this is what you did. This is what you need to do to fix the relationship. You look at yourself first. You have a relationship with God and say, God, where do I need to change? Not, God, what do I need to do to change them? If we do these things, we put God first, everything is going to be wonderful. It's when we get in our own way that makes things bad. He gave us a way out. We should be joyful about that. We should be relieved about that. I don't have to do it. He can do it. I just got to let him do it. But some of us, me included, just sometimes we get in our own way. We need to stop. We need to love Adonai, Yeshua. We need to love others. The entire Torah hangs on these two commandments. God says, enough, people. Make me your one and only true love. Amen.